Good evening, and thank you for joining with us here for a broadcast from Refreshing Baptist Church. And we do trust you'll appreciate and enjoy God's word to your heart this evening. We're coming to Matthew chapter 6, and just a couple of verses this evening, Matthew chapter 6. While you're turning again, thank you for tuning in. Do remember our prayer meeting to follow, approximately 8:30 via Zoom. You should have the link already. And we do look to the Lord to bless our prayer time this evening too. Matthew chapter 6. And we want to read verse number 5 and 6, please. Matthew 6, reading verse number 5 and 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray for thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the word of God this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll help us that as we have read it together, as we seek to study it, we just pray, Lord, you'll speak unto all our hearts, encourage thy children tonight, challenge us, Lord, whatever the need may be. We pray you'll speak through thy precious word. May we, in all that we say tonight, glorify that lovely name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Mindful, Lord, of those who are mourning in these days, we commit them lovingly and graciously to thee. Mindful of those who are unwell, we pray, Lord, you'll touch them and be for them all that they need. And just pray for the church family and pray for all who are tuned in. And pray, Lord, you'll draw nigh and meet needs in these difficult days. Remember our government, remember our land. We just commit it all to thee and pray, Lord, that they might know wisdom. But, Lord, not man's wisdom, that wisdom that comes from above, that wisdom from God the Father. So Lord, bless this evening. Honour us and grant us a real sense of thy presence. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It was said on one occasion that D.L. Moody cried out to God to stop. God, stop. It felt he was being blessed so much that he couldn't handle the blessing. Would any of us ever have to make such a cry? Rather than saying, stop, Lord. Perhaps you and I would need to say, start, Lord. Lord, we want more blessing. We want to experience the real blessing of the Lord. Could it be that perhaps some of us have never fully experienced the real blessing that comes from our Lord? Over this past number of weeks, we've been looking at theology, the theology of neology, simply looking at prayer in a simple and yet we trust in a faithful and a very practical way. As we said over this past couple of weeks, if ever we needed to pray, surely it's now. If ever our land needed prayer, they need it now. If ever our church family needed prayer, they need it now. And I'm sure as you look around you, you can see many great needs and God's people need to be found in prayer. We began a couple of weeks ago with really what we have said, God wants to hear us pray. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto thee, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's an invitation from God the Father for you and I to pray. And it's a call to pray, and God wants to hear us pray. Perhaps last week we could say that God can't hear us pray. Not because there's any deficiency with God, but remember what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12 verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. And of course, God can't hear us pray if we don't pray. And that was a sin of prayerlessness. Maybe tonight we could entitle our subject, not that God wants to hear us pray, not that God can't hear us pray, but God won't hear us pray. As we study this passage this evening, these couple of verses, I believe there's enough in this to shake us to our very core this evening. I believe there's enough and this to impact our lives in a wonderful and in a mighty, mighty way. There's much to challenge tonight. There's much to convict tonight. Indeed, there's much to encourage tonight. That you and I may be the men and women of prayer that God wants us to be. Let's look, first of all, by way of introduction. We're looking at verses 5, 6 and 7 here. Do you see what's expected? Look at verse 5. When thou prayest. Look at verse 6. When thou prayest. Look at verse number 7. But when ye pray. God expects us to pray. The Lord Jesus expects you and I to pray. When ye pray, when thou prayest, as sure as the birds sing, as sure as the flowers blossom, as sure as day follows night, God people should pray. Is that what it is with you? Is it like that with you? You see something that's expected. Then you see something extraordinary here. Do you notice what it says in verse 5? When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. Look at verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Look at verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Here's something extraordinary. The hypocrites and the heathens pray. I think you've seen this possibly. Have you ever heard some people who are in government who have no time for God, have no thought of its salvation, have no relationship with the Lord, and when there's a national tragedy, very often they'll say, we're praying for you, or we need to pray for them. And they use the word glibly, and they use the word very lightly, and yet behind it I would say there's absolutely nothing. It's just the prayers of hypocrites and heathens. But here's the thing. It's possible that in a prayer meeting with God's people, there could be people who are praying like hypocrites and praying like heathen. Now that shocked me to the core. That should cause us tonight to sit up and listen. Is it possible that we could have in a place of prayer with the people of prayer, even in the way we pray in these days, could it be we have people who are praying like hypocrites and praying like heathen? Now, before you start to point fingers at others and think about other people, you know, God wants to speak to you tonight as he wants to speak to me tonight. Look at verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. God knows our hearts. God knows the secrets of your heart and the secrets of my heart. Whatever you do tonight, don't waste time trying to take what I'm saying, what the Lord is saying through his word, and apply it to someone else. Listen to what God has to say to you tonight. You see this by way of introduction. You see what's expected? God expects you and I to pray. Do you see something extraordinary? We could be praying like hypocrites and praying like heathen. Do you see what's excluded? Look at verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Some people have taken this verse and said, well, that tells us there's no need for public prayer. The Lord Jesus is not banning public prayer. He's not saying that public prayer is wrong. It's how we pray. You see, there are many examples of public prayer in the Word of God. John 6 verse 11, you remember the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks there, in the midst of that mighty crowd, the Lord prayed. We see in Acts 27 verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. There again you see public prayer. Do you remember Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple? You could read about Ezra's prayer, Nehemiah's prayer. These were men who prayed publicly. And it's good to pray publicly. It's needed. And how we need to come together as a band of God's people. And we need to come together and pray. Remember, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, in prayers. We need to come together to pray. You see the introduction this evening. Then let me say something by way of imitation this evening. Look at verse 5 again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand in this, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they shall have their reward. Let me give you a little bit of background. You know, if anyone should have known how to pray, if any people should have known how to pray, Israel should have known how to pray. But you know, there were certain things that had crept in. Many of their prayers had become nothing, only ritualistic repeating of words. And they would pray at certain times of the day. And thus, if you were in the street at a certain time, you would just stop and there you would pray. Look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The Lord calls them Hypocrites, this is borrowed from the stage, this word. It's a word that speaks of an actor putting on a show. It speaks of someone putting on a mask. It speaks of people who are pretending to pray when they're not praying. They're just acting, they're just going through the motions. They're masking the real person. And what you see and what you hear is a mask. It's the prayer of a hypocrite. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Do you remember the story the Lord Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself and said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. Do you see the hypocrite at prayer? Look again at verse number 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Notice this phrase, the corner of the streets. Now, glance up the chapter to verse number 2. Matthew 6. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. You see the word for street there in verse number 2. It's used of an alley or an avenue. It's a little street, but you see the word used in verse number 5. It's a wide street. It's as if this man, he waited to get to a place where there was the biggest crowd, and then he would stand up and he would shout his prayers. He was suggesting to them, I'm so holy, I'm so righteous. He wouldn't even wait till he got to the temple. He just stood and prayed where everyone would see him. Why does he pray in such a way? Look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Listen, that they may be seen of men. You see, they weren't praying that God would hear them. They're praying to influence and impress those around them. And Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. Sometimes people pray in order to get their point across. And they preach in their prayers. It's okay to preach about prayer. It's never okay to preach in your prayer. You're a hypocrite. That's what the Lord Jesus said. You're trying to impress someone. You're trying to get your point across. Listen, prayer is you and I coming humbly and crying unto God. We shouldn't be concerned about those who are sitting beside us, those who are around us. This person that the Lord is talking about is more concerned with himself than speaking to God. And maybe you're saying tonight, I'm glad I don't pray publicly. I could never be guilty of that. Why do you not pray publicly? Now, I know for some people it's a step too far, and I appreciate that. My mother has been going to church for decades, and she just couldn't pray publicly. It would kill her. I understand that. But maybe you're saying tonight, I wouldn't pray publicly. And perhaps you're feeling that you're good tonight and you're patting yourself on the back. Why do you not pray publicly? Because you think perhaps your prayers are not good enough. And if they were good enough, then you would pray. Why do you want to impress other people? The greatest thing is just that simple prayer from the heart. Just pour out your heart to the Lord. We don't want to be praying that we might be seen of men. That's just hypocrisy. And whether we do that, or whether we don't because we think our prayers are not impressive enough, one is as bad as the other. Look at verse number 6 again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? Well, men may be impressed. What use is that? What good will that do us? If someone is impressed with our oratory and impressed with the length of our prayers and the loudness of our prayers, what use is that? James tells us in James 5 verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly. As I said when we looked at James in the past, he prayed in his prayer. There was no self-promotion. One commentator said, this would wipe out most of what we call prayer. It means we don't just pray with our lips, we pray with our heart. Do you see the introduction? Do you see the imitating? Is it a mask we're wearing tonight? Is it the prayer of a hypocrite just to be seen of men? This is stern stuff. You see the introduction, you see the imitating, you see the insincerity. Look at verse number 7. And when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. Vain repetition is meaningless chatter, aimless, thoughtless chatter. Oh, we could look at the Church of Rome and we could say that's what rosary beads are. They're empty, it's meaningless, it's just vain repetition. We could look at some, and perhaps that's what they've made the Lord's Prayer, as it's known, just empty, meaningless babble. They don't think about what they're saying, and they don't really mean what they're saying. But tell me, what about you and me? One preacher said, you know, everybody has their own ritual in prayer, and as soon as they get past the ritual, then they really begin to pray. They really begin to pray. The Lord doesn't want meaningless, mechanical words. Some people won't pray because they can't get the right words, can't get the right phrases. The Lord says, I don't want you to pray when you try to get everything right. I just want you to speak to me. I don't want the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings 18, verse 26. Listen, they cried all day, O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us. And it was just empty gibberish. Ancient rabbis maintained the longer the prayer, the more likely it would be heard and heeded by God. Mark 12, verse 40. The Lord said, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Now, not all long prayers are insincere. But don't be like the heathen, trying to have long prayers to be accepted with God. Now, let me say this. Vain repetition is not asking the Lord for something over and over again, because that's what he wants us to do. Do you remember Paul? He prayed three times. Three times for that thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 26, 44? He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. It's not praying the same prayer, asking for the same request over and over again. God wants to hear us cry unto him. This is just empty, meaningless words. Spurgeon said, it's not the length but the strength of your prayer that's important. The Lord described the temple as the house of prayer. I wonder in Roof Island, I know we're not in our building, I wonder, could it ever be called a house of prayer? Have we some who pray to be seen of men? Have we some who don't pray because they fear what men may think? And both are guilty of the same sin. Prayer is about communing with God and seeking not the commendation of men. You see the introduction, you see the imitating, you see the insincerity. Then we see something intimate here. Look at verse 6 again, Matthew 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I think it's fair enough to say, if we don't pray privately, we shouldn't think of it praying publicly. And here's what the Lord says for you and I. We need to shut ourselves away with the Lord. You take time to get aside from the Word. Have you a prayer closet? Have you somewhere you can shut the door and it's just you and it's just the Lord? And you know that's where real prayer takes place. You have no one to impress. You have no one to concern yourself with. You're not worried about Joe Blog sitting beside you. You're not worried about who's listening to you. It's just you and it's just the Lord. That's the kind of prayer we want to bring to our prayer meetings. Where you're just crying unto God, not trying to impress anyone, just to come and humbly and reverently seek the Lord in prayer. No hypocrisies, not to be seen of men. No vain repetition, just meaningless babble. We want to see meaningful communion with the Lord, and God will answer that sort of prayer. You know, the old man, the flesh, needs to be crucified if we're really going to pray. You know, television talks about prime time. Prime time television. We often hear the phrase quality time when it comes to spending time with our family. What about giving prime time to prayer time? What about quality time being prayer time? You know, when you read through the Word of God, the Lord always wanted what's best for him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You remember in the Malachi, I think it was, when they brought the sacrifices, they were happy to bring the animals that were lame and the animals that were really good for nothing else. But the good ones they kept for themselves. Is that what we do with the time that God has given to us? All the quality time, all the prime time, it's about me. And all we have for the Lord is a few leftover moments. Just to utter a few probably meaningless requests in prayer. Jehoshaphat sought the Lord with all his heart, but he had a son called Ahaziah. This was what it says of Ahaziah, who sought the Lord with all his heart. That's Jehoshaphat. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. No prayer, no power. Here was a man who prayed, but his son had no time for prayer. And it says he had no power. Listen tonight. We need power. We need power to preach the word of God. We need power to stand at the market yard and preach the gospel, that God would move in a mighty way. We need to see the power of God. If anything's going to be done, we want God to do it. That's why you need to pray. We want to see the bereaved comforted. We want to see the sick with God's hand upon them. We want to feed God's people to know the presence of the Lord. And we want to pray for all of these things. I'll tell you, there's no power when there's no prayer. How we need prayer. I'll tell you, I need your prayers. And you need me to pray for you. Here's something, and I've called it indispensable. Look at verse number 8. We've talked about the introduction. We've talked about the imitating. We've talked about insincerity. We've talked about being intimate, getting alone with the Lord. And then we see something indispensable here. Look at verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. In this verse, we're reminded of a relationship here, your Father. You know, it's like a child going to his father. This reminds us that God loves you tonight. God wants to bless you tonight. You know, we have a relationship tonight. That opens up the door for prayer. And then there's a realization here. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father, you have a relationship, knoweth what things you have need of. Here's a realization. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. That means when we come and pray to him, and God answers our prayer, we will get exactly what we need. As I've said before, no good father will ever give his children everything they want, because sometimes the children look for things, and you know they don't need these things. You see, they're defective in their understanding, they have a lack of maturity, they have a lack of foresight, and it may sometimes be the right thing, but this is just the wrong time. But listen, our Heavenly Father knows everything. And he knows what we have need of. Matthew 7 verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Is our God not a loving Father this evening? Doesn't he know what we need? He's an omniscient God. He knows. He's an omnipotent God. He can meet us at the very point of our need. You see the relationship? You see the realization? And then here's the requirement. We have to come and ask. Come and approach the Lord by faith. Come and just cry unto him like a child goes to the Father, knowing that he is able, knowing that he understands, and therefore you can come and pray in faith. This is indispensable. He's not some tough, hard, insensitive God. He's our Heavenly Father, and he wants you and I to come and to pray in faith. He wants us to get alone with him, to communicate with him, to cultivate a God consciousness, and as we think of his awesome majesty as we come to him in prayer. We're nearly finished. You see the introduction tonight? You see the invitation tonight? Isn't it shocking to think that some of us could be praying like hypocrites and the heathen? You see the insincerity. Could we be using vain repetition, just words, for the sake of words. And then we see the need to be intimate, just to get alone with the Lord. Then we see something indispensable, that relationship we have, that requirement we have, that realization that God knows what we have need of. Here's something immeasurable here. Look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray for thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Father who knows our heart, knows your heart, and know my heart will reward us. What is the reward for prayer? Let me tell you, prayer itself is a reward. You see, just to have communion with the Lord, can anything be more blessed? To be alone with the Lord, to speak to the Lord, to sense the very presence of the Lord, no inhibitions, no pretense, just to get alone with the Lord and to pray. What a reward. You know that word reward means to repay. Whatever it costs you to make time, to spend time with the Lord in prayer, the Lord's no man's debtor. The Lord will repay you many, many fold, hundredfold, if you'll take time to pray and to seek his face in prayer. You know, he rewards us by having the communion. He repays us whatever it costs. You know, he blesses. Let me tell you this, he rewards us by answering prayer. Is there any greater thrill than be praying for something and seeing how God answers? Boy, it increases our faith. It deepens our love for God the Father, our love for the Savior. And it's a real reward. But listen, he can reward us eternally. Imagine praying for some soul. Imagine praying that God will break into their heart, that God will convict them by his Spirit of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Imagine seeing that person come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Imagine meeting that person one day in glory. And you know that in some measure, your prayers reached into the ears of God in heaven, and they say it reverently, and God answered your prayer, saved that soul, and there's an eternal reward. Paul talked about our joy and our crown of rejoicing, those he had seen saved through his ministry. What a blessing. What a reward. If we could get a hold of this tonight, is there anything better than spending time with the Lord in prayer? Is there anything better than God answering prayer? Can you imagine anything more glorious, more wonderful than seeing people saved by the grace of God in answer to your prayer? Or will you get alone with God? Will you speak to the one who knows all about your needs? Someone has said prayer is the most sacred duty of every believer. And Satan has destroyed the prayer lives of many saints and many churches. I wonder tonight, do we need to reclaim this wonderful weapon? Has our prayer life been decommissioned? Do we need to take up the weapon of prayer? Do we need to use prayer and come and really seek God's face in prayer? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, I've said it already, I said it last week when we looked at some of the characters who prayed. One of the greatest examples in prayer is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he had two really difficult experiences. I know there were more, but two. Do you remember when he was in the wilderness? And do you remember when he was in Gethsemane? And on both occasions he prayed. Jesus Christ sets the perfect example. As I've said before, he knew that he needed to pray. And he prayed. How much more you and I need to be men and women of prayer. You know this? I'm sure you find this every time you go to pray. The old devil never lets you go. But he tries to get into your mind. He tries to steal your time. He tries to steal your thoughts. There's so much that has to be done. You haven't time to pray. And he attacks us when we pray. Do you know why? Because he appreciates the power of prayer. The devil appreciates the power of prayer. Do you tonight? Do I tonight? Do we, as a band of God's people, really appreciate the power that comes through prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word again this evening. And Lord, there are examples in the reading this evening that frighten us. There are examples, Lord, that startle us. Lord, help us not to examine everybody else's heart tonight. Help us to examine our own hearts tonight. Are we praying like a hypocrite or a heathen? Are we not praying? And Lord, we're just the same. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, would you raise up among the fellowship and refinement and indeed for any who are listening, a mighty band of prayer warriors. Bless thy word to our hearts and encourage us even as an assembly as we get to pray in prayer in a few minutes time. May we really sense the Lord's presence with us tonight. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.